You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. If you want to interact with the show, phone line 913-576-7610. You can interact on the phone and the text line to the show. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. There is a lot to talk about. Josh Vernier joins us on the show. Hey, Vern.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Vern, we appreciate you coming on. We started with the Royals today with simply saying they had to at least split with the Detroit Tigers. Today, if we were talking about them losing a series and being 2-5 coming back home, our outlook on this is very different. All we're asking this team to do is to sort of tread water until they get healthier. They did what they had to do on this road trip.
Yeah, there's no question, but there's no rest for the weary. I mean, you're coming home and facing a bona fide American League lineup. 1-6, this Chicago team can, and especially with this even more juiced baseball that we're apparently going to watch in 2020, this White Sox team can mash. You have them at home for 3. You play a 4-game home-and-home with the Cubs, and then you got 10 of the next 14 against the best offense in the American League in the Minnesota Twins. So, yeah, they did the, you hate to say bare minimum, but they did what they had to do to extend the season by another week.
Right now we're talking to Josh Vernier. We were just talking about Brady Singer. How impressed have you been with him? And would you say that it's too early to consider him to be their number one pitcher?
Yes, too early, because when I crown someone as their number one pitcher, the rules change as far as what I expect, what I demand. Demand in quotes, as much as a fan or a media member can demand. Like Danny Duffy, I put that entire loss on him the entire night. He's the one, even though Ian Kennedy, yes, gave up the home run that turned out to be the difference, the 2 free passes from Danny Duffy, that to me lost you the game, whether it's salary, tenure with the team, ability, knowledge. Danny Duffy has the edge on Brady Singer when it comes to all of those things. But as far as how impressed I've been, it's really a continuation of what the young man has shown since he showed up in this organization. He's not robotic. He has a personality, but he's just so far beyond his years from a maturity level, not only on the field, but also in front of the cameras, in front of the microphones. The guy is, again, as polished as any rookie pitcher I've been around, even more polished than Justin Verlander was when I covered that 06 Tigers team. I mean, he liked to cut it up a little bit more. He seemed to enjoy being the big leaguer a little bit more. Brady Singer's about his business. That shows on the field, and it shows in interactions with him.
Vern, from talking to people in the Royals organization, what's the ceiling for Brady Singer? Because I feel like what we do in Kansas City is whatever the Royals sort of tell us this is the next prospect to watch, we get really excited. He then performs well in a couple of starts, and then we start thinking that he can be this ace or this legitimate number one. Based on what you've seen, based on conversations, what's a realistic ceiling for Singer?
Two starts into his career, you hate to put too firm a ceiling on someone with his kind of talent and also his desire to improve. Ceiling, I'll say a multiple-time All-Star.
from Brady Singer last night, Vern, to Chris Bubich tonight. Bubich said that he was surprised when he got his name called to be the opening day starter. Why do you think that it was his name that got called to pitch tonight?
I think they like, obviously, the stuff, his command on both sides of the plate with a good fastball, a plus-plus changeup, an above-average curveball. The demeanor, again, all four of those first-round picks, they're all just interesting guys in that not a one of them has an aw shucks, can you believe I'm here attitude. Now, they're all respectful. They all acknowledge what they don't know and what they need to learn, but they're all very confident in their ability. It appears, and this really is the biggest question, is how comfortable are you with failure at the big league level and how do you bounce back from it? But Chris Bubich is, you know, he's a thinking man's pitcher, a lot of deception coming from the left side, a Stanford grad. I think why he got the edge over Daniel Lynch and Jackson Kowar is command, first and foremost, because Kowar and Lynch, I think, have the better stuff. But I don't know if they can step up on a big league mound right now and with a man 90 feet away from home plate, throw that 3-2 fastball for a strike on the black. And I think they believe Brady Singer and Chris Bubich can do that.
Yeah, the Royals, Vern, have proven that, especially this year, they'll bring up a dude. Like, even if he's not ready, because correct me if I'm wrong, Bubich, the highest level he's pitched at, right, is single A, yeah. And now he's going to pitch for the big league club tonight. I think I know your answer to this, but I'll ask because I can't be the only one that's curious. Would there be any chance they would bring up Bobby Witt Jr. this season?
Again, I hate to say 0% chance because we're playing in a pandemic, so I'll say 5% chance. And that 5% chance is a number of guys get COVID or a number of guys get injured. But no, look, Dayton Moore has been pretty forthright about this throughout the offseason. He said he would be aggressive with the young pitching, but whenever Bobby Witt's name comes up, there is a hesitation to acknowledge his ability as a full year professional because he's yet to do it.
Right now, we're talking to the Royals insider, Josh Vernier, for a couple of more minutes. Let's talk about Adalberto Mondesi. He's been pressing early on this season. The Royals have kind of done some shuffling. What are you seeing from him?
Just that. He has a lot of, I mean, you know, at times we don't acknowledge the age or, you know, just the growing up process that we all went through when you're a guy that made his big league debut at 19, 20 years of age. We don't give you the breaks that we would a little brother or someone in your community at that same age. A lot like Yordano Ventura, a lot like Danny Duffy, when they make a mistake or let the team down, they overcompensate, and then that ultimately backfires even worse, and then it just tanks the entire day. You know, Yordano would go into his funk, and then he would come out of it, and he would be outstanding. Then his either competitiveness or his emotion would get the best of him, his teammates would get disappointed, and then he would go into another funk. I think Adalberto Mondesi is a lot like Yordano, a lot like Danny Duffy, where even Moose had some of this, where you just want to be such a good teammate. Everyone knows how good you are. They're expecting you to be good, and when you're not, you begin to press, and I think that's the kind of funk he opened up the season in. Let's hope that big night last night broke him out of it.
Vern, before you get out of here, so 20%, I'm sure you're acutely aware of this, that 20% of tonight's baseball games have been canceled. We're a week into the season. What letter grade would you give Major League Baseball based on the first week of this year?
I think that's unfair to give. I give the country, you know, a bad grade. So everyone within the country, most businesses, you know, are made up of those people that in society are making poor choices. But you know, I'm not going to dodge the question. I'll say
compare it to other sports, and I know that the NBA just started last night and MLS has gotten underway now for a couple weeks, but it's felt like to me, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that baseball's plan from the get-go maybe wasn't as tightly sealed as some of the other sports.
I mean, literally, it's not
as tightly sealed, right.
You know? And I think that's what opens you up when you're traveling, when you're flying around the country, when you're not all staying in the same place. And I don't see how that would have been I guess maybe it would have been feasible in Florida or Texas. I don't know. I don't know if it would have been feasible to play Major League Baseball in a bubble because you can't play games outside in Arizona right now. You're going to have people keeling over.
Yeah.
Florida's the epicenter. I don't know if playing outdoor, I'm not sure. But baseball doesn't look as good as the NBA or MLS or the NHL, but I don't think it was possible for them to look as good.
Yeah.
Right now we're talking to Josh Vernier for a couple more minutes. The thing that I guess maybe is the most confusing with this is they've messed this thing up from the beginning. Now, if you could go back, if you could sort of rewind time, the game on Sunday involving the Marlins shouldn't have been played, and maybe we're not in this exact same situation because you and I, we've had this conversation a lot, both on and off the air, about positive tests, and baseball assumed those things were going to happen, but they were going to be able to push through it. But then today, when you see what's happening in St. Louis and two positive tests can now cancel baseball games, it makes me think, what are we doing here? Like, the plan was once those things happen to call up other players and let's keep things going. And now 8 days into the baseball season, they're not even doing that.
Yeah. I mean, from the outset, it all kind of felt like, what are we even doing here? I mean, even some of the everyday stuff that we all partake in at times feels like, what are we really doing here? If they were going to go about this in the fashion that they are kind of forced to, if you can't go the bubble route, well, then you got to go the travel route. I feel like this was inevitable, and they'll never say it, but baseball knew that maybe our team would get took out, but it was worth it to push ahead. Because, you know, let's not get this. It's just solely about money, and that money is still there for them. So they're going to do all that they can to get money. If some of the thousandaires and millionaires get hurt along the way, so be it. I'm a billionaire and I want more money.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joining us today on the show. A lot of news in Kansas City and around Major League Baseball. Vern, always good talking to you, my man. Appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk some college football with Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated as the news is coming in hot and heavy about what the plan could potentially look like this fall for college football. We'll do that coming up at the bottom of the hour. But up next, we'll take a trip inside the mind of the machine. That's next. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll head to the world of college football with Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated here on 610 Sports Radio on the radio.com app. We'll also hear from Bill Belichick, who, to my knowledge, commented on Cam Newton for the first time. So we'll hear what he will have to say about their new starting quarterback, Cam Newton. But before we do that, let's take a trip inside the mind of the machine.
The head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden, was asked about his first 3 years back, and he said, I quote, I got to coach better. I'm not going to ask you if the Raiders are going to win a Super Bowl during his tenure, because I don't think that's going to happen. Will they ever win the AFC West while John Gruden is the coach?
I do not think they are going to win the AFC West while he is there. No, I am not very hopeful in the plan. I wasn't very hopeful when they hired him. I thought they gave him way too much money, and I think they hired the name John Gruden than the coach John Gruden.
Yeah, that's not going very well. It's still relatively early in a 10-year contract, but the early results, not looking great.
Mike Mayock has exceeded my expectations, though.
He's been
so
nice.
Maybe he can just overwhelm the field with talent, so I don't know.
I mean, Mayock always knew the NFL draft. I mean, half of the job is just knowing how to scout players. You know, like, that's so much of the job. I think we just see how many of these people are really bad at it.
And how important the right head coach is. I mean, the problem with the Cleveland Browns last year was not lack of talent. It was lack of stability and head coaching. Speaking of NFL head coaches, Tom Coughlin got in a pretty serious bicycle accident a couple of days ago where he broke four ribs and punctured a lung. When's the last time you got on a bicycle, C-Dot?
Last year,
is that right?
I got on a bike.
A Huffy?
No, it was one of those where you can rent a bike for like $3 and you can ride it for a little bit. I didn't ride it for a very long time, but yeah, last year was the last time I remember getting on a bike.
Why did you choose to get the bike over the bird if you were going to rent something to take around Kansas City?
I don't really remember. I think I was with this girl and she said, let's ride bikes. And then we rode bikes around this park and it wasn't for very long.
Very romantic.
I tried to ride those bird things. They move a little too fast for me,
those
man.
Things
I'd be
go.
Scared. I
those was a things too fast go. And other people make them look so easy. I look across the street, dude's flying, taking corners like he's Tony Hawk, and then I get on it and fall on my ass, and I'm good on those things.
Yeah, I mean, that just seems like, I mean, I'm not looking for a trip to the hospital. Like, I'm not looking for a way to severely injure myself.
I've swore off two modes of transportation in my life, the bird scooter I'll never get on again, and a paddle boat. I had a bad incident in Lake of the Ozarks in 1996. I'll never get on a paddle boat again. Rob, celebrity birthday time. How old is Gus Johnson today?
Gus Johnson. That's a good one. I'll say Gus Johnson's a little older. I'll say Gus Johnson's 52 today.
57.
Gus Johnson's 53. You guys like Gus Johnson?
He's fine. I don't think he's as good as Twitter and people seem to think, but he's fine.
Gus Johnson was great when it was a bad game and he made it feel like a bigger game. When you give him a good game, you're like, shut up, dude. The game's good.
When he used to do college basketball, like when he did the NCAA tournament way back in the day, CBS, it was great. But
like
yeah,
the
7-10
game, he could make feel like a Final Four game. But I don't want that for a Final Four game.
How old's Dustin Hoffman, C-Dot?
77.
Ooh, that's really good. I'll say a little bit younger. I'll say 72.
Should have gone a little older, Rob. He's 83.
Oh, wow.
Last celebrity birthday today, Rob. How old is Roger Federer?
Club Fed. I'm a low-key tennis fan, by the way. We lost out on Wimbledon this year. It makes
me
sad.
No one's surprised by that.
I think Club Fed is like 39.
He is 39. I don't care what you have to say, Carrington. You guys paying attention to Shane Bieber, Cat? 14 strikeouts, no earned runs. I'm sorry, 14 innings pitched, no earned runs, 27 strikeouts, which brings up the question, Carrington, do you like Justin Bieber?
I actually took my sister to her first concert. It was actually to go see Justin Bieber.
Good
so,
for you.
And it was one of those things. I don't know how many concerts you've been to, but I was like, eh, she wants to go. Cool, I'll go. And then when he's performing, I was like, I know this song. I know this song. I know this song.
That Wiz Khalifa.
I knew a lot more Justin Bieber. The only other experience I had like that was I went to go see Lady Gaga. And by the end of it, I was like, I've heard 85% of these songs.
Those are both great shows. I mean, nobody's gone to a Lady Gaga show or Bieber and like, it didn't really live with my expectations. Wiz Khalifa, man. I went to the building formerly known as Sandstone thinking, I'll go to the show. I knew every song. It was great. Did I ever tell you I went to the Up and Smoke tour?
You have definitely told us
that. Yeah, it was awesome back in the day. So, the Jazz game last night, it was pretty interesting because not only did Rudy Gobert score the first point of the game, but he also
scored the game-winning points, too.
The game-winning points and won my bet. Thank
you
very much.
Time is like a circle.
Thank you, Rudy. And then Rob brought up that we saw a ghost last night. George Niang? Rob, did you have any idea that George Niang was still hooping?
I think I knew he was on the roster. I didn't know he played.
What in the name of... What was my boy? Craig Brackens, was that his name, that scored 40-plus points for Iowa State? Royce White? They've had some pretty nice ballers. Carrington, you were talking about being with the girl on the bird scooter and all that. My buddy actually just texted me like an hour ago. He's got a first date coming up tomorrow, but with COVID, there's not a lot of stuff to do.
He better not
Does
use
he a, need
gift
a gift card.
We know that. Yeah, we better not use a gift card.
No, he ain't
we
getting no
that.
Gift card. He ain't a chump.
We know that.
What would you suggest the better first date in Kansas City, the zoo or the plaza in times like this?
I mean, I actually enjoy the zoo. I went on a date to the zoo maybe like 2 years ago. Now, I would say this. The zoo's about pacing yourself.
Yes, because the hell
because
yes, it is.
We had the plan of, we're going to go see everything. Man, by the time we got to Africa, bro, I was ready to go.
Africa and Kansas City is farther than actual Africa.
I was so tired of walking at that point. Like, we kind of saved that for last. Yeah, it wasn't really enjoyable toward the end. I can't imagine taking a kid at that point. I was absolutely tired. You got to go in with a plan. Like, you want to go in to see certain exhibits. But no, the zoo is actually a lot of fun.
The zoo is great, although it's so big. They need to have a Zuber, like a zoo version of the Uber. So if you're stuck in the back, way back there in Australia or whatever, and you're just trying to get the hell out of there, you just want to see the polar bear one more time and then go home, somebody's got to be able to pick you up in that situation. Speaking of animals, I suppose, you see what's going on with this Marlins bus? So there's a COVID bus for 20 of the Marlins players that came down with the virus that is literally on its way back down to Miami today. My question is this. Who drives this bus? Who drives the COVID bus with 20 people with COVID on it?
I mean, somebody in a hazmat suit, somebody who's being paid very, very well. I don't know what they're charging, but I would drive the bus in that scenario.
Nah, it's going to cost at least full hazmat suit knowing that I'm on a bus with 20 people with COVID. You got to give me 50 grand just to make the drive.
I mean, to make the drive. I'm not saying I'm
one
doing
time,
it,
50 grand.
I'm not saying I'm doing it for very cheap, but yeah, I need to be compensated very. But
maybe the driver's got COVID.
Yeah, I mean, if you take all of the proper precautions, you can save yourself from it. But yeah, I'm going to be in the hazmat suit.
When's the last time you were on a bus? What's that mega bus thing you used to tell me about?
It used to be a bus. It used to go from Kansas City to Columbia to St. Louis to Chicago. You could always get on it for really cheap. It was actually pretty comfortable.
Why don't you take the Amtrak if you're going to do all that?
It was much cheaper. You could get to Columbia for $3 if you really...
For $3?
If you caught the deal, yeah, absolutely. You could definitely do that. The last time I went on the bus was probably... I don't know, maybe like 2013. I actually caught a train earlier this year. I took the train from New York to Washington, D.C.
That's not a real train ride, though. I mean, that's what was it, like an hour and a half? A train ride
like
is
3 hours. So
a train ride is jumping on here, taking the Southwest Chief on the Amtrak to Chicago for 7.5 hours.
Yeah, it was like 3 hours.
That's a train ride. Oh, before we get out of the mind of the machine, Celtics at Bucks tonight. I'm looking forward to that one. Who is the second best team in the Eastern Conference behind the Milwaukee Bucks?
The Toronto Raptors.
Really? Didn't see that one
The
coming.
Toronto Raptors, I think, are the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Give me the Philadelphia 76ers. Love me some Joel Embiid.
Y'all sleeping on the Heat. Heat are good.
I like the Heat, too. Best jerseys in all of sports.
You can make a case for Boston, too.
All those squads.
You can make a case for Boston.
I just hate everything about that Boston team.
None of them really have a chance. I mean, as long as Giannis stays healthy, I think that the Bucks are going to dominate the East. But we'll see. You're now outside the mind of the machine.
Coming up next, keep it locked in. We'll head to the world of college football and be joined by Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. What's the plan for the Power 5 conferences? We'll talk to Ross about it. And I believe this is the first time that Bill Belichick has spoke on Cam Newton. We'll play that for you, but you got to keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor. Lock this number in your phone, 913-576-7610. If you want to interact with the show, that is the way to do it, whether phone or text. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll play for you Bill Belichick, who I believe for the first time commented on the record about their new quarterback in Cam Newton. We'll play that for you coming up in 10 minutes. But let's head to the phone lines right now to talk to one of the top college football writers in the country. He works at Sports Illustrated. His name is Ross Dellinger. Ross, appreciate you coming on. Let's start with the decision from the Power 5 conferences to move to conference-only games. What was your reaction to that?
I think it was probably a long time coming. I think what we're going to see is most conferences go that direction. You know, it makes sense. You know, it's going to be tough enough in a pandemic to play. You want to cut down your season a little bit to provide some open weeks of flexibility if you have outbreaks and, postponed games and cancellations. And then you can all operate under, the same testing kind of in-season protocols. So, and you can start the season later, as we've seen with the SEC. The SEC, there's a little more to it with their move that involved money as far as TV in bye games and getting out of bye game contracts by changing the scheduling format. So it kind of depends on the conference, but overall, it just gives everybody a little more flexibility to complete what is the goal of the season, and that's your conference season and to crown a conference champion.
I was a little bit surprised by the SEC plan to push things back later into the year instead of trying to speed things up. It seems to me that the plan would be to try to end the season as early as possible as opposed to pushing it back later than you normally would.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the SEC and around college football were pretty surprised that the Big 12 was moving up games like they were. It seems like most conferences are going to be pushing back games. The ACC already announced delaying a week, the SEC 3 weeks. Sounds like the Pac-12 is going to delay at least a week, maybe two or three from reports. So I think a lot of people are a little struck that the Big 12 is moving things up. And while that does give you flexibility of weeks during the season, obviously if you start early, you'll have more open weeks. It also has you playing at a time when virus numbers are quite high in the nation. So from the SEC standpoint, why they're playing so late, I think they're going to be the latest kickoff probably of any conference, is they are expecting a surge and spike in virus numbers once students return to campus in camps start around mid-August or so. And then you have the Labor Day holiday. So like one AD told me this morning that they expect a spike a week after Labor Day in early September. And they want to kind of overcome that, I guess. And that's why they push back like they have. But every conference seems to have a different approach. You know, we're going to have staggered starts, it seems like, from every conference.
Is there any chance that we have bowl games or a college football playoff or a national champion this year? And I get it. It's really not about that. It's let's just get as many of these things in as we can. But I haven't really even heard of any talk of any sort of postseason this year.
Oh, I think, you know, I guess it's all dependent on the virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci has said over and over again, you know, the virus makes the rules kind of thing. So the virus in the numbers will determine that. The regular season also will determine how smoothly a regular season will go. But for now, I think the bowls and the college football playoff are on board, you know, ready to host games. It'll be a little different. Teams will, in the bowl eligibility issue will probably arise. You'll have to do, instead of six wins, you might have to do just 500 record or better. That could be the case. And then, you know, you'll have some issues. I mean, if the SEC teams don't complete 10 games and, you know, you have a team that's 4-5, what happens? Do they go to a bowl, you know? So you probably have some waivers, and it'll be a different type of year. But depending on the virus case numbers and hoping that they don't skyrocket during flu season, I think we will have some kind of postseason if enough teams complete the regular season.
So the NFL is kind of an entity within itself, and the same thing with Major League Baseball and all these pro sports. The difference, obviously, with college is that you've got these student athletes that play a sport, and they're also supposed to go to class and do all these different things. How much do these universities need college football to happen? Because if there's no bowling team this year, no gymnastics, the universities are going to survive. How important is it that college football happens for the lifeblood of these universities?
It's huge, and not just for the universities, but the surrounding community. I know a lot of people have written about the impact on college towns of all of this, and it's significant. So it, college football, especially in certain places, specifically the Deep South, is so important to people. And it's the type of religion, and it runs not just schools, but whole communities. So it's very important, and it's like any other business. You know, I understand that the college football business is different because it is run relying on teenagers and 20-year-olds who don't get paid, but it's still a business in a lot of ways. And just like any other business, a clothing store, a restaurant, a bar, they're trying their best to play to stay afloat. And I don't necessarily blame them. This is very important. There's a lot of money at stake and a lot of jobs at stake.
Right now, we're talking to Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated about college football and what their plan could be for the upcoming season. I always thought playing spring football made a lot of sense, like any plan, especially when it comes to the virus. There's a lot of pros and cons to it. Why do you think that spring football didn't pick up a lot of steam?
Oh, gosh, there's so many issues with the spring season. It's just like endless. You can list them off. But the biggest issue from talking to administrators is the impact a spring season would have on a 2021 fall season. You'd be eliminating basically 4 months of the off season. You'd be starting the spring season around late February, potentially the heart of flu season. and you'd run through much of May. And so you'd have to somehow adjust summer workouts. You might even have to move back the 2021 season. As administrators have said to me, it would make a one-year problem a two-year problem. So that's the first reason. But I think there are plenty others, you know, just logistically, TV windows, the logistically on a campus holding all that. Your star players leaving, you know, not playing and leaving for the NFL. We're already seeing some of them leave now, skipping fall seasons, shortened fall seasons. So what would they do with a spring season? I think a vast majority might leave. So lots of issues with the spring season. Most administrators want to avoid it at all costs.
If you had to look into your crystal ball, what percentage chance would you give us having a fall college football season this year?
A complete season, you know, all the way through, I would probably put it at around 40 or so percent, probably just less than 50% sure that we can actually complete a season. They are trying their hardest, you know, in a conference-only model will certainly help get to that end.
That is Ross Dellinger with Sports Illustrated joining us on the show to talk about the latest and breaking news regarding the 2020 college football season. Ross, really appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Always good to talk some college football here on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. I certainly understand the hesitation to moving to the spring. Man, we'll see what's going to happen here. None of us have a crystal ball and can see into the future. But, I mean, now if we're pushing it back, we're 7 weeks away from the start of the college football season. We're a month away from students starting to return on campus. I mean, it's certainly going to be a lot to navigate for college campuses the first couple of weeks. It's people from coming all over the country and them congregating and keeping them all safe. Man, there's a lot of reasons to believe that colleges are going to have a much different time than the NFL and pro football. I feel probably 100% certain that we're going to have NFL football this season. Will they finish? That's a different question for a different day, but they're certainly going to try. You don't get to the point where the MLS tried, baseball tried, the NBA tried, and the NFL's like, nah, we good. They're certainly going to try. College football is a very different beast for a lot of different reasons.
Especially because, like, the name players, guys like Trevor Lawrence, that we all know he's going to be the number one pick. That's part of what makes college football so great, is that the first couple of years when those guys were freshmen and sophomores, we wanted a chance to see them at their prime. And if they move college football back, then a lot of those guys are going to say, screw it, I'm already going to be a top pick. We've already seen a couple of players decide to make that decision where, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm already going to be a first-round pick. I don't need to go out there and risk my body and play another year of college football in front of no fans. I'm going to leave early anyway. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that college football's big mistake, and this was not on purpose, this was not intentional, with conference realignment a handful of years ago, was they didn't come to four college football power conferences. It's still five. If there were four, then I think it'd be pretty easy. This year, whoever wins the power conference represents that power conference, and then they play in a four-team college football playoff, and we'll do our best to have a national champion. But this year, five power conferences, only four teams can make it. Everybody's playing their own conference, so we don't know how good you're going to be crossing over. It's going to be really difficult to determine, if there is a playoff this year, to determine who the best four teams are.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio on the radio.com app. Bill Belichick went on WEEI in Boston. Here's what he had to say about the signing of one Cam Newton.
Well, things worked out. We spent quite a bit of time with Cam, and you know, he spent quite a bit of time with us. I think it was some mutual interest, and we spent quite a bit of number of different people and number of different conversations, and I think just trying to see how the fit would be, and it was very positive on our end, and I'm glad it worked out.
You could just hear the enthusiasm that Bill Belichick has for the signing of Cam Newton as he announces it today.
Take the Red Bull away from that gentleman. I think he's had too many.
The Patriots were an interesting team maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago. With now a quarter of their team opting out of the season, they're a very average football team. I didn't think that they were going to be that good, but you could sell me on, hey, Cam's better than we expect. The defense is still going to be good. And now you can kind of sneak in and be a 9-7, 10-6, who knows what's going to happen team. I just don't know how that defense is going to be able to manage and maintain anything close to what they did this season with the amount of defections that they've had.
I've been so up and down on New England because after Tom Brady, I don't know if it was Brady that decided he didn't want to play there, more so that the organization decided, yeah, we're going to go ahead and let you walk. And he officially became a Tampa Bay Buck. That day, I was like, I don't know how relevant this Patriots team really is. As you mentioned, their offense wasn't great last year, and now they don't have Tom Brady. Now that they don't have half their defense, they still don't have Tom Brady. Gronk also is a Tampa Bay Buck. When you start listing the teams that I have interest in heading into this year, what reason do we have outside of, I wonder if Cam Newton can get back to his old ways, to even watch the Patriots this year?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that the Patriots are rebuilding. I mean, maybe we'll see. But to me, when you sign Cam Newton, I think you're going to have a certain level of certainty at the quarterback position. I wouldn't say that they are rebuilding this year. It certainly is a transition year. This is the first time in a 15-year span that they're not even close to part of the Super Bowl conversation. Like, they're not in tier one or tier two. I'm not even really sure if they're going to be in tier three with all the players that they've had opt out. They're just not a part of the Super Bowl conversation. Like, when you ask the question of who's the third best team in the NFL, of the AFC, yeah, they're not one of the five best teams in the AFC.
They might have been at the day after they signed Cam Newton. Now that we know, how many guys have decided not to play this year? Eight for the Patriots. I mean, if eight, can you imagine if that was our team, the Chiefs, the team that we talk about every day? If it wasn't just Damian Williams and Lawrence Aduvane-Tardif, but we had another six guys, everybody would be going absolutely crazy. So, yeah, I don't think that the Patriots are all that relevant this year. I think that there's a lot of teams that are kind of middle of the road. They're the Indianapolis Colts. They're the Tennessee Titans that happens to have Bill Belichick as their coach.
Coming up in about 15 minutes at the top of the hour, we'll talk some NFL football and how the Ravens seem absolutely desperate for Lamar Jackson. And I was thinking about this. This is a we need to go to the Super Bowl or bust type season for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm curious how many other teams we would say that for in the NFL. We'll do that coming up in about 30 minutes. Yesterday was a great day for the NBA. They have had a very solid 2-3 weeks of testing. The bubble has worked. The reviews are really strong and really positive for the NBA. Everyone knew that the NBA was going to have a more demonstrative act towards the national anthem and social injustice and all the things that are going on in this country. I did not know that they were going to do a remix to the national anthem. Now I'm here to say, Rob, Sean, y'all been messing the national anthem up for a long time here. Listen to the national anthem for the first NBA game in the restart. They put a little beat in it. I mean, only the NBA was going to throw a little Lowry's on the national anthem. Only the NBA was going to put some Louisiana hot sauce on the national anthem. We've been hearing these standard opera sounding national anthems for tens, hundreds of years. It just took one NBA game to completely shock the world and change the game. Salute to the NBA.
You start talking about Louisiana hot sauce and bass, and I'm expecting like a milli to pop out. I mean, there was a little bit of bass. I liked it. It changed it up a little bit. I did think that the overall product was, it was so much better than I thought it was going to be. And you keep accusing me, and you're right, that I'm the guy that says, I just want sports. I've been saying that the whole time. I just want sports. Then the UFC came back, and I was like, eh. I didn't want that. And then they had that horse competition. I was like, nah, maybe I didn't want sports as bad as I thought it. Even baseball with those cardboard cutout fans looks kind of hokey. The NBA last night, if we're just talking about what happened once the game started, not only were the games close, both of them, we had we had game-winning shots in both of them. And I like what they did with the fans. I like what they did with the play-by-play. I like what they did with the crowd noise. I thought that the NBA so far is the sport that's been able to pull it off to make it feel the most like a normal game compared to the other sports. I loved it last night.
The broadcast was A1.
It was great.
You got inside the NBA, the way that the game looked, it didn't feel small. It didn't feel like the summer league. It felt like a really big production. The quality of play left a little bit to be desired. LeBron could not dribble yesterday. I don't know what was going on, but it was a little bit sloppier than I think I expected it to be, but it's the first regular season game. We got seven more, and that's not counting the playoffs when guys kind of get their legs back and start getting a different feel for the game. You could not ask for a better day one for the NBA than what you got yesterday. Again, the bubble is held up. The returns are very positive on the bubble, and you got two great finishes yesterday. If you aren't a big NBA fan and you're just, I'll just watch the fourth quarter of it, man, both of these games were close the last 5 minutes of the game. Now, we expected the Pelicans to maybe play Zion Williamson a little bit more, certainly down the stretch where you didn't get that. But I mean, you got Kawhi down the stretch, LeBron down the stretch, AD, Paul George down the stretch. LeBron hits the game winning shot. You just could not have a better review of day one of the NBA than you got.
What was up with that? So Zion played early, played well, and then didn't play again. I know that they keep talking about managing his time, but I think that part of the reason why the Pelicans are even still here, that they had the expanded kind of playoffs, if you will, or bubble, was because the NBA wanted to feature Zion if they could. And then the Pelicans went out there and played him, what did he play, 12 minutes, 14 minutes yesterday? And while we're talking about the Pelicans, Lonzo Ball is hot garbage. He is, I know that he's got potential and he can do it. No, he just sucks. And maybe his brother's going to be good. That guy is, he was 2 of 14 yesterday with 5 turnovers. I'm done talking about Lonzo Ball until he actually does something on the basketball court.
He can't shoot. I mean, we've known he can't shoot for 3 years. He can't shoot at all. He does a lot of other things really well. Shooting is not one of those things.
He stinks. But the NBA product last night did not stink. It was so much better than I thought that it was going to be. And it's because of everything that you just said. It wasn't one thing. It wasn't just the fans. It wasn't just the fact that, you know, we got NBA back and I could go home last night and bet on a couple of games or the play-by-play. It was the overall product. And I think it's going to last. I mean, they need to hold off for a couple of months. The playoffs are right around the corner. I think that there's going to be as close to normal interest for this NBA playoffs as there would be otherwise.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back to the NFL and we'll talk about the Ravens' interest in Lamar Jackson. But the top story in sports continues to be Major League Baseball and the positive tests that have been going on. Here's Jessica Mendoza of ESPN on if the season should be canceled.
At what point are we going to keep doing this and adapting? And I understand with Major League Baseball, they want to do everything they can to be able to continue to play the season. But now you start to look at where the Cardinals just were, because the incubation period to me is what's real. I mean, this is the part we saw with the Phillies, the biggest question marks because of the lack of contact tracing. St. Louis Cardinals were just in Minnesota. So now you start to look at the Twins, and they're going to start to get tested if there's any positive results that come out in the next few days from them. But again, it's waiting and not knowing. The Twins are going to be playing today. This is where it gets scary, because you don't know how, you don't know when, and because of that, you don't know where it's spread to other teams. And that, to me, as we start to see from the Marlins to the Phillies, and now as we look to the Cardinals and who they've played, and positive tests start to come in possibly, then we start to really think about, should these teams even be playing?
That's Jessica Mendoza of ESPN. If you are the Major League Baseball players, who, remember, the Major League Baseball players said after the money, which they certainly were fighting for, second, it was a lack of trust of what the owners could do to keep them safe. You remember, once they agreed on games, they then spent another 8 days arguing about these safety protocols that were put into place. Testing every day now at this point has to be a mandatory thing if you're the players. I mean, we see it. They're changing rules on the fly. They're changing the extra innings rules. They're changing the doubleheader rules. They are changing the rules of the game on the fly to try to keep the players safe and to try to get this thing done. It's going to cost the owners a little bit of money, but to me, they continue to not have done their burden. They didn't operate in good faith when it came to the negotiation of how long this season was going to be, and they have not done a good job in keeping the players safe and keeping them healthy. We have an outbreak already in Major League Baseball after 8 days of them playing games. How can you keep us safe? What are you doing different today to keep us safe that you weren't doing before? Major League Baseball has egg all over their face that we aren't talking about the quality of play. We aren't talking about the product nationally. The entire conversation nationally today about baseball is about how they have completely mismanaged this entire situation, how the Marlins have an outbreak on their team. And now today, as we sit 8 days after the start of the season, 20% of the games are canceled because of the virus.
I'm not trying to defend baseball, but when we had on Vernon, I asked him about it. He's right. The bubble, if they were going to pull off a bubble, I don't know how baseball is going to do it. It would be much more logistically difficult because in Arizona, it's like 120 degrees right now, and Florida is a hotbed for this thing. There's not just a bunch of major league-sized baseball stadiums that would work in one city like you could do with basketball. Or I assume if the NFL really wanted to, there's probably somewhere down in Texas or Oklahoma that they could pull this off. So they were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Again, I'm not defending baseball because they didn't seem to have a good plan, and Rob Manfred seems to have his head on backwards. But they couldn't have had a bubble.
Yeah, but though, really quick, though, to cut you off, though, they could have handled Sunday better. A lot of the problems that we sit on Friday happen with Major League Baseball should not have allowed the Marlins and Phillies to play on Sunday. All the problems that have existed here, they knew they had positive tests on the Marlins. They allowed them to play and then allowed some of them to travel afterwards. That's really where this thing is. Rob Manfred should have stepped in right now in the game that they played on Sunday. It shouldn't have been up to the players to go out and play in that scenario. Major League Baseball should have made the decision to do so. Now, you can say lesson learned here, but man, that's a tough lesson to learn 7 days into this experiment, 8 days into this experiment, but that's where they messed up. You're right. The bubble conversation, we're past that. They're in the middle of the season here. Now it's about what you do over the course of the season and what are you doing to keep players safe. On Sunday, they didn't do that. They should not have allowed them to ever take the field.
And like Jessica Mendoza was saying, can you imagine, not the baseball side of things, but the human side of things. So you know that 5-10 guys have come down with COVID, and then you're supposed to play on a baseball field with those guys. And that's what the Royals are going to be facing. So let's see what happens. Fingers crossed with the Minnesota Twins, because don't look at your schedule now. Next week, you got the Minnesota Twins. So right now, I guess you could say the Royals they've been affected because Keller and Junis and Dozier and these guys didn't start the season because of COVID. It hasn't really hit them so far the first week, but it has hit pretty much everybody else. Tonight, 20% of the schedule has been canceled. And we had Vern on earlier. I asked him, I said, so we're a week into this thing. What grade would you get baseball? And I understand Vern. He wants to defend the sport that he loves. I'll give it a grade through the first week. A D, if I'm being generous, a D plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.